Over the last several Sunday evenings, we've been looking at a series of lessons called Short Passage, Big Message. Short Passage, Big Message. God's Word doesn't have to be taken just at length to really see that there's a lot of depth there. Short passages can have a great deal of depth too. Let's look at Romans chapter 2 and especially verse 4 tonight. One of my favorite verses has always been, "Do you look down upon the goodness and the forbearance and the long-suffering of God, not knowing that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance?" Let's focus on that verse, especially verse 4, in its context, and we will look at three truths. We'll look first of all at the subject, we'll look at the blessing, and we will look at the abuse that this passage speaks about. The subject itself, the blessing that's involved, and then the abuse that the passage speaks of. When you look at Romans chapter 2, Romans has got to begin as one of the most discouraging books in the Bible, just to tell you the truth. Romans chapter 1 says Gentiles are sinners. Romans chapter 2 says Jews are sinners. And Romans chapter 3 says we're all sinners. That's really how it begins. And if you look at it just from that viewpoint, it can be a somewhat discouraging book, but it really deals with how we can be made right with God because of Jesus and the gospel, as we discussed this morning. Now, when you look at Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, especially the first 16 verses, are dealing with the matter of the judgment of God. The judgment of God. In Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, God's judgment is inescapable. Nobody will be overlooked. God's judgment is inescapable. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, God's judgment is righteous and will be according to our deeds. The judgment of God will be righteous judgment and will be according to our deeds. That's what Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11 state. And then when you look at Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, it says the judgment of God will be impartial. That God isn't a respecter of persons. So God's judgment is inescapable. God's judgment is righteous and according to our deeds. God's judgment is impartial. There is some ambiguity concerning who he is talking to specifically. He repeatedly uses the term you, when he gets to Romans chapter 2. It's obvious that Gentiles are under consideration when you look at chapter 1. But when you get to the beginning of chapter 2, something makes you think that he's speaking now to Jews. But it doesn't become obvious that he's speaking to Jews until you get to verse 12. And when you look at this, he was talking about how Jews would think because they have the law that they're special and they're not going to be judged because they're special people that God has chosen. And then he'll go on in verses 25 to the end of the chapter and talk about circumcision. We've got this mark that identifies us as belonging to God, given by God himself, circumcision. Well, that may well be true. And I think the weight of the evidence supports this, just to tell you the truth. But some have said, not all Gentiles were just complete heathen. There were Gentiles that had a sense of morality. And maybe, just maybe, Romans 2, 1 through 11 fits them as well as Jews. That's entirely possible. Now, look at it this way. Whoever the specific person is, Jew or Gentile, he is doing this. Notice how Romans 1 ends. Look at verse 32. Not only do these people engage in sins, these Gentiles, that will bring about condemnation, they approve others who are doing the same thing. They approve of others who are doing the same thing. Well, I guess you could say at least they're consistent, because you get to Romans chapter 2, and what you have is a self-righteous judge who condemns others for doing the very things that person does. That's what you're seeing in Romans chapter 2. Could it be a self-righteous Jew? Well, we know that there were plenty of them in the time of Jesus, and the answer should be yes. But could it be a smug, self-righteous Gentile who would talk about the immorality and sin of others, but also judge self-righteously and hypocritically? Yes. Because, you know what? I think that people, whether they're Jew or Gentile, and Christian even, can at times be guilty of a double standard, don't you? And so whoever the specific is, the principle is the same. These are individuals who judge out of self-righteousness and with a double standard. Think Matthew 7, 1 through 6. The words of Jesus. What that does is tell us a little bit about the subject under discussion, the theme. Let's move on now to the second truth and talk about the riches that are spoken of in Romans 2, especially verse 4. This passage specifically mentions riches that are available to us. God's riches. When you think about that term riches, think about Matthew 13 and verse 22. Because sometimes the Bible uses the word riches in a very negative way. Matthew 13, 22 is an example. The parable of the sower, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of the world. Remember? But there are numerous occasions when the Bible uses the term riches in a positive sense, because it has to do with blessings given by God. All right? How about Ephesians 1, 7 and 2, 7, the riches of His grace? How about Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, when Paul speaks of the unsearchable riches of Christ? How about Romans 11 and verse 33, when he speaks of the riches of God? But he gets more specific concerning these riches. He names them. We have a trio mentioned: goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering. A word or two about each of these riches. The riches of God's goodness. You may have the word kindness, Titus 3, 4 through 7. Maybe you've got the word generosity. They're all ways of referring to the same term, basically. Goodness, kindness, generosity. Every time we say the word God, we say the good one. The goodness, the forbearance, and I love this one. The forbearance, the tolerance, the clemency that can be found. God is rich in goodness, God is rich in forbearance. God is rich in long suffering. The Bible uses two words for patience. One word is often translated long suffering, and it has to do with patience with people, that one has a long fuse. The other term has to do with patience with circumstances. Nobody would ever have a problem with patience if it weren't for people and if it weren't for circumstances. The Bible addresses the need for patience in both areas. But this one is especially the term that has reference to patience with people. He endures a lot. God's got a long fuse. Look at Romans 2:4. God is good, forbearing, and patient, or long-suffering, so that His kindness or mercy would lead us to repentance. God's blessing has intent behind it here. His goodness, forbearance, His long-suffering are intended to lead us to repentance. That's the goal. All a preacher, all an elder, all a Bible class teacher, all any Christian has at his disposal, at her disposal, is the goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering of God, which is designed to lead people's hearts to repentance. Anything else, if you're trying to manipulate people or whatever, we stand completely empty-handed if the goodness of God, the forbearance of God in His grace, and the long-suffering of God will not cause a sinner to repent. Nothing will. Nothing will. That's really what the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul here. That brings me to what this passage describes as an abuse. Do you despise? Do you look down? Do you presume upon the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering of God? Think about some ways that God's rich blessings can be abused. They can be unnoticed. They can go unnoticed. They might be acknowledged, but really, for all intents and purposes, they can go unnoticed in our lives. A second way they might be abused is this. We might feel we deserve them. We might feel that God owes us His goodness, His forbearance, and His long-suffering. That He owes us these riches. That we're really not so bad. You know, the person in this chapter, it seems, is thinking he's better than some of the others. He can condemn their behavior even though he does the same thing. A double standard. The abuse this passage talks about can take place when we pervert God's goodness, God's patience and long-suffering and His forbearance. I'll do what I want and ask for forgiveness later. You ever heard anybody say that? That is distorting and perverting what Romans 2:4 actually says. And it's just one way that this can be done. But ultimately, anything that opposes God's intent, that His riches of goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering should lead us to repentance. Anything that overlooks that is twisting and distorting Romans 2:4. I've always loved the passage, but to stop and look at it in its context and to see what Paul is saying is, God is so good, He's so good to me. The only appropriate response is, I love Him so, I love Him so. And to come to Him with penitent hearts, humbled by His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Please pray with me. God, how great You are. And we thank You and we praise You for Jesus. And as we have sung together a few moments ago, oh, what a Savior. Father, help us to keep in mind that it took the death of Jesus on the cross to make us right with You. How can we love and practice that which cost the life of Your dear Son on the cross? Help us to humble ourselves before You and to repent of unforgiven sin in our lives. And may we, like the Apostle Paul, think of ourselves in a way as less than the least of all the saints. And yet may we also say to ourselves, who am I that You have been mindful of me? We pray for those that are sick. We're thankful that Carolyn Hopper's surgery seems to have gone so well. God, we pray that You would be with those that have fallen recently, like our brother Tira, our brother Jack. We pray Your richest blessings to be upon them and their loved ones, and may Your will be done. We pray for those that are dealing with cancer, for those that have received great reports, encouraging reports, like Gavin McKee. Please bless him and his wife, Kaylee. We pray, God, that You be with Bo and Kristen and the recent diagnosis of cancer that she's received. And I know that they are doing their homework concerning doctors and specialists. And God, most of all, they're bringing this matter to You in prayer, and we're privileged to do that too. Please bless this family. God, thank You for heaven, a place where there will be no sin, no sickness, no death, no separation. And we will bask in the glory of Your goodness and praise You for Your mercy and grace and forbearance and Your patience. And we will praise You forever and ever. May Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're about to sing our song of encouragement. Short passage, big message. A lot to think about. It may be that this very evening, there's someone in this assembly who needs to repent, because deep down you know you are in sin. You've sinned against the Lord, perhaps as a Christian. And you need the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. It's possible that there's someone here that's not a Christian, that hasn't come to Jesus in faith and repentance and baptism, to have their sins washed away, to be added to the church of Jesus. No better time to come to our great God than now. Let's stand and sing.